Good morning again, brethren. And here I am. The pursuit of happiness, okay? Everyone wants to be happy in this life. No one wants to be lonely. Who wants to be lonely? No one, I think. Unless you're too happy that you think, I need to be lonely sometimes. Everyone wants to be happy. Who will not want? But to have a long-lasting happiness in this life, you have to develop habits based on the principles of the Bible. Because you can be happy for a while, but later on it's gone. It's gone. The problem is, even if you try to do things that you think makes you happy, and it doesn't work. That's the big problem. But unfortunately, even with Christians, many haven't found yet the long-lasting source of happiness. And many stay in prolonged misery, sadness, unhappy life. In our Tagalog language, we call sayang, sayang. There is no English for sayang, sorry. Is there? I don't think there is. No English for sayang. Our language is a bit... something. Oh, that's too many words. Okay. What they have missed is this. Habits based on the principles from the Bible. That's why. Jesus is enough when it comes to our salvation. He is enough. Jesus is enough when it comes to our justification. He did it for us. But to have a joy of the Lord, which is our strength, we have to practice or live out the principles of God's word. You don't do that, you'll miss out something. You'll always be looking for something that will make you happy, which the world cannot give. Maybe for a while, but later on you'll be lonely again. The world has a lot to offer to become happy. Money, wealth, sex, popularity, power, beauty. If you're beauty, you see yourself beautiful. But if you have a negative attitude toward yourself, you'll always be miserable with your looks, with your size, with your health. The best person to think about when it comes to all the world can offer, he had it, is Solomon. He got everything. He got everything. But do you know what he said later on? All is vanity. All is vanity. He had 300 wives, 700 concubines. He had himself vines and... He had palaces, he built buildings, he had everything, servants. But still later on he said, all is vanity. Poor women. I don't know how he was able to visit them at least one night a day. There are 700 concubines and 300 wives. And he said, all is vanity. I don't like that life. Okay, can you put the number one, brother? I can. Okay, yeah, let's read. Oh, everyone, let's read it. Ready? Romans 12:2. Ready? Begin. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Unless the mind is renewed from a worldly perspective, you will keep looking for joy, for happiness, what the world can offer, and you will not find it. And that answers the question why many Christians stay unhappy for so long, for so long. Paul has testified that even chains, poverty, and sufferings those didn't take away his joy. Even in prison, he writes joy in his heart because of the people that he knows he brought them to the Lord. We have a member in Manila that we call her Dancing Lady. This lady is so joyful. He danced. I mean, he danced all over when we worship. She's so joyful. And she talks with enthusiasm about the Lord when he talks to you. And then one day, she got cancer. And she was in the hospital. And one of the things that the nurses tells the staff, our staff, us that visit her, is that, I don't know if this woman is really sick. Because she's so, I mean, instead of them encouraging her, it's here encouraging them about the goodness of God, that God is always good, and yet he is suffering cancer. Until the time he was about to die, she still tried to smile and say, Jesus loves you, nurse. That's the joy of the Lord within. The assurance that you have a good God. No matter what happens into your life, you know that he is always good. So, the starting point of happiness is, first, I've told you yesterday, learn to serve others. If you truly want to be happy in life, you've got to care about the needs of those around you and move the focus away from yourself. That's the starting point of all happiness. I know that. Me and my wife knows that very well. Paul looked to Timothy as an example of someone who genuinely cares about others. In Philippians 2, 20 to 21. Yeah. Let's read it. There is no one like Timothy for having a real interest in you. Talking to the Philippians. Everyone else seems to be worrying about his own plans and those of Jesus Christ. That's Timothy. Number two. The next one, be trustworthy. Let's read the Proverbs 25, verse 13. Yeah. Proverbs. Oh, no. I didn't put. Yeah. Okay. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. Reliable friends who do what they are like cool drinks in sheltering heat, refreshing. Later on, I will be giving a testimony about serving, okay? But I will leave that for the conclusion. Reliable friends who do what they say are like cool drinks in sheltering heat. They are refreshing. If you want to be happy, become a person who people can trust. Paul used Timothy as an example of someone who was reliable, consistent, and dependable. In Philippians 2:22, can we read that, brother? Yeah, let's read it. 2:22. Do we have it there? Yeah, let's read it. You know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served me with the work of the gospel. Paul had seen Timothy in action in all kinds of circumstances, and he considered him genuine and trustworthy. Timothy had proved to Paul that he was someone who could be counted on. It's so hard to be with someone, working with someone that you can count on. But if you have someone that you can trust, you know that if they say yes, it's yes. Oh, you'll be happy. Most people don't get up in the morning and give their first thought of how someone else is doing. They're often only concerned about their own problems. And that's why so many people are unhappy in their life. Yeah, I'm not saying that you should not be concerned with your problem, but if you are consumed by that, you have a big problem. Not only your problem, you have a bigger problem. And that's why so many people are unhappy in their lives. Thinking only about yourself eventually leads to misery. Your skin, you look at the mirror, oh my skin. And that destroys your morning. Oh my hair. You think the hairdresser made mistake on cutting your hair and that's it? You get upset, you get so miserable, your belly. It's all right to have belly. I have belly. But if you're consumed by being frustrated by yourself by that, oh, come on. God created you that way. Maybe you just have to accept. Because if you are getting older like me, even how much I do it, the belly will still be there. I can only control it, not to be one pack. There are six packs. But if you're getting older, to have six packs is hard. It will just be one pack. You just have to live happy. Forget about that. You have to exercise. You have to. But I mean, there's just a limit for things. Your nose, your eyes, your car, your dog. Early in the morning, instead of thinking about somebody or a God worshiping. The dog. There's nothing wrong having a dog. But you are consumed by that. You have a problem. If you want to be one of the rare, unselfish, unhappy people, you need to change your focus. I'm not saying that you are becoming irresponsible with your skin. I'm not saying that. Change your focus. Putting your focus on others doesn't come naturally. Most people don't walk into a room and think, who in here needs my help today? Instead, you think, how do I look? Why do women go to the toilet many times, sometimes, even if they don't really need to go there? And they, especially in parties, you know what they do many times? I don't know if you're doing, the women here, I'm not saying you do, you guys, they touch up. Especially when they've eaten a bit oily. They just leave everyone and go to the and look for themselves. That's not bad, but if that consumes you, oh, something wrong. What are people going to think of me? So you have to intentionally train yourself to do the opposite of what you normally do, to shift the focus away from yourself. You have to love yourself. But if you're consumed by that, because we're supposed to love others too. The Bible says, love God above all. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if you love only yourself, you're not loving your neighbor. I have to admit that it saddens me how many times I've missed the needs of people around me, even the need of people I love. Because you know what? I'm busy checking the likes I got from my post on Facebook. I open my Facebook instead of there, looking for somebody to. And all of us have sometimes being trapped on that. I wasn't taking an interest in them if I do that. I hadn't shifted my focus of myself. And because I wasn't looking out for their needs, I miss the chance to help. That's me. I wanted to change that part of my life. Next, Philippians 2:4. Let's read. Yeah. Ready, begin. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Instead of dwelling yourself or grieving missed opportunities, spend your energy thinking about how others are doing. That's where you'll find happiness, in serving through serving others. Another one, be a person who could be trusted. Anytime you go to a bank for a loan, they'll do a credit check. They want to know if you're worthy of being trusted with credit. Do you pay your bills on time? Do you have a track record of keeping your word? Can you be depended on to pay the money back? Are you credible? Those are the things that the bank will see, will try to look on who you are. The thing is, everyone around you is doing a credit check on your life. Every moment of your life, they're looking at you. They want to know if you are what you say you are. Are you showing your true colors? Can you be trusted, really? When you prove that you are a trustworthy person, you'll be a happier person. People will know you're reliable, and as a result, your relationship will be stronger. It's so nice to have a person, to have a friend that you can rely on. How do you develop a reputation of trustworthiness? First, you live with integrity. Integrity doesn't mean you are perfect. It means that what people see is what people get. You are the real deal because your actions match your word. In Proverbs 25:13, reliable friends who do what they say are like cool drinks in swell heat, refreshing. Let's read the other verse. They always do what they promise, no matter how much it costs. I like that. Second, you keep your promises. Even if you find out it's going to cost you more than you thought it was going to cost you, actually, you will keep your word. Don't make a habit of making promises to your kids when you want them to behave or obey you just to make a promise. Because later on, they won't trust you anymore with your word. Don't do that with your kids. When you say, when you promise something, make sure you're willing to do it. Because it will register there that you're fooling them. Learning to live with integrity and keep your promises will show others that you can be trusted and will in turn make you a much happier person. As believers, we are in the same fight together against Satan. So we need to cooperate with others. No matter how different we are, we all are. The best place to learn how to do that is in the church. You can't learn this in the pub. You can't learn it. I mean, even in school sometimes, it's hard to learn. Second, Paul mentioned with Epaphroditus, the second is learn to be considerate. Paul mentioned in Epaphroditus, again in Philippians 2.26. Let's read it. Philippians 2.26. Yeah. Ready? Begin. He has been longing to see all of you and is troubled because you heard that he was sick. Notice how Paul used two examples of considerations here. Paul was considerate of his co-worker, Epaphroditus. Homesickness. And Epaphroditus was considerate about the Philippian concern. He is sick, but he's still concerned about the brethren, the Philippian brethren. When you learn to be considerate of other people's needs, fears, and doubts, you'll be a happier person. For instance, if you are considerate of your spouse, you'll have a happy marriage. I learned a lot. I'm still learning, but I learned a lot. Compared now than before, I think if it's 1 to 10, maybe my wife knows it. Maybe what, 7? 8? Because we're not perfect. Sometimes we... Especially, you know, there are many rules, many decisions in the house. All the major decisions is my wife's decision, the major ones, including my daughters. They want to buy a house, that's a minor decision. They bought that house without even I just signed it later on. I cannot do anything.
Those are major, buying a house, car. Those are major, minor decisions. The major decision in our house, and that it has to be made. I'm going fishing and play pool. If it's time to go fishing and play pool, they should not say anything against it, because that's a major decision. And sometimes I feel inconsiderate when she needs to go home and we are in a party, for example, and I will ask somebody to bring her there because it's time for me to go to my schedule for the competition. Consideration. Sometimes I'm not perfect. I'm just telling you the truth. But I love my wife anyway. I love her. And we are growing in that. Okay? But if you are not thoughtful of your words and actions, you'll have an unhappy marriage. In 1 Corinthians 1:10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Let's read it. Yeah. Ready? Begin. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. Cultivating a life in common takes work. Life, like a garden that requires cultivation to bear fruit. You'll see how your effort bears fruit of happiness and strong relationship. Now, this is nice. Have a radical thanksgiving in all circumstances. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, let's read it. Ready, begin. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Give thanks in all. What does that mean? In many cultures around the world, people set aside certain days or season for thanksgiving. But God wants you to be intentional about your thankfulness every day. When you wake up in the morning, when you're walking, When you're doing something, there are things there that reminds us that we have a God that is in control. He wants you to develop a spiritual habit, one that is reflected in the life of a radical believer. The more deeply you understand God's love, the more grateful you're going to be. What does it mean to be radical, radically grateful? The Bible says we read it in 1 Corinthians. In every circumstance in your life, give thanks because it is God's will for your life. Not, that is radical gratitude. Now, is it His will that you get sick? No. It is His will that you have an accident? No. But you know that God is in control. You know that God is full of love. How can you be thankful even in difficult circumstances? You can thank God in every circumstances because He is in control. He can bring good out of evil. He can turn around the worst mistakes you've made, no matter what happens. God isn't going to stop loving you. There is this story. He was on the door, and somebody slammed the door. And his one finger just got... It had to be amputated because of that. And you know what? He thanked God. Oh, thank you, Lord. And one of the guys said, why are you thanking God in your hands already going to be amputated? I thank God because at least it's not my neck that was hit. It's not my head. It's just my fingers. And God protected me from it. It's a positive thing. You see, the rather than being miserable, blame the person, hate the person, and even slam the door and want to take out the door, no more door. Why don't you just thank God for His goodness? Anyway, it's just the finger. It's hard, but I don't know. You can find 100 things to be thankful for in any circumstance, even when your circumstance stinks. Radical gratitude, being thankful in all circumstances, is God's will because it creates fellowship. What do I mean by that? Gratitude always builds deeper relationship between you and other people and between you and God. If you want to get closer to someone, start expressing gratitude to that person. Thank you. Maybe you're feeling distant from your spouse. You've lost that loving feeling because you stopped doing the thing that created that loving feeling early on. And now you take each other for granted. This morning, I was driving. I held the hand of my wife. And she was not holding me back. And I said, why are you not holding me back? Because usually when I hold her hand, she holds it back. She holds it tight. This time, they didn't hold it. And she said, oh, your hand is so, what is it? Oh. So cold. Oh, that's all right. I have to understand that. The cold. But I do that. It makes me feel like I love her so much. Not telling me that I love her, but me feeling that. Do you want to build a small group? Don't just go to your gathering. During the week, contact the person in your group. Say, I'm grateful for you. Here is why. You'll find that more grateful you are for the group, the more your group will bond. Brother Ferdy is good at this. He's good at this. In Psalms 145. Psalms 145. Ready? Begin. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I've told you the first thing that we have to learn to be happy in this life is to serve, to give, and to serve. I'll tell a story. And the church, the older ones, you know this, the older ones that were here knows it. We adopted Kyle, but it didn't stop there. We got him from a squatter. He was sickly, and we adopted him, but it didn't stop there. Because he had brothers, he had parents. So we adopted the whole family. We send them regular, not only for buying or for school, regular allowance for the week, for the month. And even the church here had sent them money to build a shelter because they don't have house. And the only condition that I made with them is they go to church and they go to school. Once they go to church and go to school, their allowance will not stop. And we continued doing that. And as we continued with the joy just sprouting in my heart. But it didn't stop there. When the eldest graduated from the university, imagine they were kids and now graduating for university, we didn't stop supporting them. When the eldest brother graduated from the university, he had an accident. His left hand was hit by a truck. There is a cover on the side of the truck, of the bus, and it hit. So he was amputated on the left arm. And so he can't find a job after that. What we did, and we agreed with my wife, that we have to take him, build him confidence in his heart. So I asked my brother-in-law, he has a business, if we could let him work there. Half of the salary is ours, half is him. And he worked there for 2 years just to develop confidence in his heart of what happened. And then he got sick of tuberculosis, so we had to send him back to the province. And later on, we had this boutique here, and I got a revelation. We can give him a business. So we got all this search for a warm country. The pants, and we sent it to him. We bought a motorcycle and a
roving boutique so that he can sell. But the thing is, he cannot drive because he has only one hand. So he had to, somebody has to help him, his brother. And up to now, we're doing that. And then I learned later on that his sister, the youngest one, is studying in university, working in a McDonald's, and goes to school. And I was so blessed with that. And I said, okay, we'll give you allowance until you finish. So we sustained her. We give her allowance. Every month he has money from us. And the joy just sprouted in my heart. Last month, she wrote us, I have graduated. I'm a teacher now. And the joy that you feel, you cannot buy that. You don't have to help the whole world. You just have to help somebody that God puts in your heart. Be concerned of them. Give your life to them. That brings joy within. And one of the things that I've known about God, you cannot outgive him. You cannot outgive him. You don't have to have big salary to have savings. We don't have big salaries with my wife, but we save. We save. Because God is a giver. Now, I'm finished. I encourage you, brethren, learn to be concerned with others. There are just maybe few people that God puts into your heart. You are a blessed woman, sister. You adopt a family. Stay with you. Now, God is restoring that love within. You have a family. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Let it be, Lord, that this revelation of being concerned not only of ourselves, but for others, will stay as a revelation in our hearts, that we will walk into it, Lord, in this life. Lord, we thank you for today. We bless you for your goodness, that your mercy endures forever. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brother.